Hey, I'm Chuck Liddell. You're watching Icebreakers.
Watching Icebreakers. My name's Adam Ray. I'm on the show, too.
Fuck!
Guys, welcome back to Icebreakers, Episode 4. Our guest today, former UFC middleweight champion, holds a record for the longest title reign in UFC history at 2,457 days, training mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, Taekwondo. We have the same body. Please welcome the spider himself, Anderson Silva.
Hello,
also,
everyone.
Also, one of my favorite guys to watch fight. If not the favorite to watch fight. This guy was, man, when your intro music was awesome, man. When you walk that walkout song, I still get goosebumps when I hear that song come on.
My pleasure. You're amazing. You the man, Chuck. You the man.
Hey, what about me, motherfucker?
I'm still here. You inspire me a lot.
Anderson, wait, what was the walkout song? Did you get to, you picked your own song, yeah?
Well, I think you're using the same, you know, the same song. And Chuck inspired me to using the same song, the DMX, because Chuck went and come inside the cage using the song for DMX too. And I say, you know what? I'm big fan for Chuck Liddell. Why are you using the different song, but the same guy? And right. That's a using in a sanction.
That's awesome, man.
Anderson, where are you right now?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles right now.
Oh, great. Is this your pad? Or are you on the patio of Panera Bread? Where are you?
Oh, my gym in downtown LA.
Oh, great.
I train in box every day right now.
You do? Oh, for something special? Are you
He's fighting. He's fighting in June 19th.
Holy shit!
He's boxing, right?
Yeah, boxing.
What is that training schedule like right now? Pretty intense.
Yes, I training every day, and yes, very hard. You know, because it's boxing is different.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different sport, and of course, I practiced box for many, many years ago, in fight and amateur and professional. 2 times in Brazil, but it's different level, you know, especially because I go fight for the Mexican guy and traditional boxing guy, you know, but I like the challenge.
You started boxing in Brazil, right? Is that like what got you into just this whole world?
I started training boxing in Brazil for many, many years ago in Corinthians. I think it's a good experience for me. And now I back to the basic and start everything again.
And when did you and Chuck meet? Like, when did this friendship blossom?
I think the first I met Chuck in a UFC for my first time. I watching Chuck a lot, but
yeah.
The first time when I come to UFC and I ask Ed and say, "Hey Ed, I can talk to Chuck Liddell," and my English is terrible. Of course, right now it's terrible too, but in the time...
You're getting through it.
In the time, I don't talk nothing. And I just look at Chuck Liddell and say, oh my God.
Ed is a friend of his and a good friend of mine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for a long time, so...
What got you into fighting in general? Was it... did you see people on TV as a kid? Was it something around... Did you have family members or...
Well, my great motivation is Bruce Lee and watching the movies for Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And my brothers training Muay Thai, and I say, whoa, one day I go training too, and I start training.
Yeah. Hey, is there any chance you're going to throw one leg kick for me in this boxing match?
Yeah,
just one. I just want you to leg kick him once.
Definitely not.
Oh man, come on! I got $100,000 riding on it. When you got to the States, that was what year? When you came to America?
Oh, I think right now, 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Ten years ago.
It was a big culture shock. Like, what were your first impressions of just?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right now, all my family have a great adaptation. My kids, you know, and. Yeah.
What other things about Brazil that you miss or that the U.S. just can't hold a torch to? Like, is there a specific food or something that you're like, you know, the same way people from the States will go overseas and they'll be like, man, you can't get a good you know, Wendy's, you know, Biggie Fry and Frosty in Dubai? You know, is there something back in Brazil that you miss?
I have my grandparents in Brazil.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go to visit in Brazil, but my life is here in U.S., you know, and I try to continue doing my best here, and that's how I talk to my kids, you know, because you living here, I working hard for you to make something better in here. You don't doing something good here, you don't stay here. You back to Brazil because United States give the opportunity for us. And you take the opportunity in working hard because you're not American.
Right.
You know, and when you come here, you need to prove why you ain't here. And that's why I work every day and working hard and try to do my best for give everything back to the United States.
I mean, you did plenty, brother. You're great, bro.
You spent a lot of time with your aunt and uncle, right? Like, that's kind of who, growing up?
Yeah, my uncle's, he's died for many, many years ago. And, I feel, sometimes I just, you know, it's my stepdad, you know? And,
yeah.
I'm very sad because he's given me a whole support for keep doing everything hard in my life, you know, and continue my dreams, continue working hard and give good good experience and good straight for my sons. I mean, I feel sad sometimes.
Yeah. I want to know from both you guys, like, at what point, when you've been in the game for long enough, how do you keep yourself motivated? And what's the does the training routine change, like, from year 5 to year 10? Chuck, you go first.
Oh, for me, like, I can tell you, I was training was different from being 25 when I trained when I was 30, when I was 35, when I was 40. Every few years, it changed a little bit. You know, I got a little smarter, trained a little bit smarter, not overdoing, trying not to overdo it, and trying not to get hurt, but
get to know your body a little bit more.
But, you know, you never lose that. You're still a fighter. You know, you still want to fight. I still want to fight.
Yeah.
If I can still fight, I still fight.
Yeah.
But you know, it's cool. I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you, how do I watch that fight? Because are you gonna get a walkout? What's your walkout song gonna be?
Yeah, I feel the same, you know, especially because when you train, you never think about nothing impossible, you know. When you prepare your mind, you prepare your body, you prepare for war, and especially for us, you know. And I never stopped training. I feel I'm ready for fight the whole time. I prepare my mind, prepare my body for fight anytime, you know.
I miss having been in a training camp, because for a training camp was a time and I gotta let all my other problems go to the wayside. I let everything, nothing was as important as me getting ready for that fight and winning that fight. And everybody around me knew the same thing, all my family, my friends. It was almost like one joint effort to get me ready for that fight, so I'm ready to go. So having that calmness of mind and not having to worry about anything else, I'll deal with all that stuff after the fight. I'll deal with all my those other problems, that other stuff going on. I can do that after the fight. So, I always say that's one of the biggest things I miss about being in a fight camp. It's just being that singleness of purpose to be get ready for a fight, get my body ready, get my mind ready for a fight.
The fight camp is a very hard. Very hard part for us. That's the more special part and the hard part. And I feel a lot emotional, and I love it when I remember that every single camp training I do in my life.
Did you have a day of or night fight night ritual, or, you know, like something you had to eat the night before or moments before you went out?
I
a certain handshake you do.
You know, I just play games.
Yeah.
I just play video games and stay with my kids. When are my kids going with me to fight? I stay with my kids. I go to the mall, watch movies, and relax.
Just keep it normal.
Yeah.
What was your video game pre-fight? What calmed you down? A little Mario Kart, a little Zelda?
You know, I love the play Call of Duty and Rainbow Six. That's the games the shooting games.
Okay,
you know?
Something to fire you up. Yeah, I was okay. Yeah, you're like yeah. So something like Mortal Kombat esque. Yeah, you're like I like to rip a guy's heart out, simulate it before I do it in real life. Yeah.
You know, it's because everybody asks me, you don't play UFC? They say no because I'm terrible.
Oh, really?
You know, that's my same response. And if I do play, I play as Tito. Because yeah. Because I'm gonna lose. So I don't want to play with me because I'm not gonna win.
That's
I'm terrible.
Hilarious. Anderson, take me back to the first time you fought in the UFC. It was 2006, correct?
Wow. My first fight in UFC is very interesting for me because I think I'm very lucky because. When I start in UFC, I'm fighting in London for 1 year. And I think I have a great adaptation for come to UFC. And I remember the night I stay in Vegas and I don't, you know, in my mind I say, oh my God, I'm in UFC right now. And the night I fight, I say, whoa. You know, I call my master, my taekwondo master, and say, what do you think? And my master say, you know what? I train you for make your life better, for you make something special, not for fight, but for life. Do your best for life. And in the time, I say, what do you mean? I don't understand.
Yeah.
But years ago, I understand everything my master say in the night.
Right.
And the night I fight with Chris Levin and changed completely my life.
Yeah, he said he was going to knock you out. And I think you had a, what it says online, you had an 85% striking accuracy, which is crazy.
Yeah. That's the problem when you talk too much because when you go,
you get your ass.
When you go inside, when you go inside the cage or inside the ring, or inside the match, what happens? Everything's changed because you have an opponent training hard for fight with you. You need to respect because that's the real base, the martial arts. You need to respect your opponent. You know, of course, the sport, you need to promote the fight, but you don't think lose your respect for martial arts. You know, it's not because Chuck is here, but that's I respect Chuck a lot because everybody talk, oh, why you don't fight with Chuck Liddell? You say, I'm not ready for fight for Chuck Liddell. I'm ready any time for fight with Chuck Liddell because this guy open the door for I'm here today. And why are you talking about? Don't say that. It's disrespect. You know, that's the new generation do it right now and disrespect the legend.
I'm with you. Like I see a lot of stuff. I think people forgotten like that like, you know, set line that where you got to promote a fight, fine, but you don't cross certain lines. I mean, some of these guys start talking about people's wives and their families or religions. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, stop. Like, you know, but I mean, I guess that's what sells nowadays. I mean, sometimes it's just, that bothers me.
Yeah, today is the loss of respect for the real sport, the real legends in this sport.
So when you did you see you know, Jake Paul at the fight last weekend, kind of running his mouth and causing a scene? What do you consider that? You know, him trying to hype his own you know, shit up, or is that kind of a disrespectful move? How'd you view that?
Well, in my opinion, I think the world's changed, and everything right now is a lot of people talking about big shows.
Yeah,
you know, and Jack Paul is a very smart guy, but you can come inside the different sports, or MMA or boxing, in disrespect. You know, that's I take the fight boxing and I training to do my best for respect boxing, for do my best for people when I see me say, oh, Anderson respect, but not for going inside the ring and doing something disrespect for the people working hard and die for make the sport huge, you know? And that's, I think, that Jack Paul lost the little key, you know?
Yeah. Do you guys, I want to hear from both of you guys on this. When you remember was it Dana that brought you over to the UFC? Was that kind of your, did he call you up while you were in London? How did that all go down?
I remember I'm in London. I fight in London, and the guys call me. George called me and say, "Oh, you have a chance for come to fight in UFC, but you can't fight in London." And I say, "Come on, man! I have a fight Saturday. This is Friday, and I have a fight Saturday."
Oh shit!
And yeah, because Joe Silva say you fight, you lose, you don't come fight here. I say, come on, man. I don't care. I go fight here. I'm lose, okay. I'm win, okay, too. I don't care. And the night I win, and I talk to the guys in the Cage Rage, and I stay in UFC.
And Cage Rage, that was in London, yeah?
Yeah.
And how does that differ from the UFC? Is that...
Oh, completely different.
Yeah.
You know, it's a small event. It's not... big, small, but in the time, I'm happy in the Cage Rage because I never put in my mind I fight in UFC, and I try to do my best in Cage Rage and working hard every single day, the same I do when I stay in UFC, right. You know, and I think that's helped me to make successful inside UFC.
Chuck, do you remember when you first started hearing of like rumblings about Anderson, like just coming up? Like how does, from, you know, competitor to competitor, do you guys, is there like a group text? Like they're like, oh shit, there's this guy in London who's coming up. He doesn't take no shit. His striking accuracy is 85% and higher. Like how do you find out about
you've him coming online up? They had a few, like the underground, people start talking about other guys that fight.
Yeah.
And, back then, it wasn't like it is now with social media and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. I didn't have all that. It was all out there really quick. But, yeah, I mean, I had heard of him before, but when I saw him fight against Levin, that was fun to watch. I mean, I just see from that was a – I mean, he was explosive. Levin's a tough guy, man. He made short work of him.
Yeah, do you remember, like, your first impressions? Were you like, oh, shit, like, that's – like when you see someone that's...
I mean, and then going on a long way, every time he went out there, man, he's so explosive and so dynamic. He's one of those people, I say there's different kinds of power. There's guys that have that timing power, and then there's guys that have, like, sheer power. Like, they just try to punch through a brick.
Yeah.
You know, and he had both. He had great timing.
Fuck.
He had great timing, great placement, great... And if he hits you with anything, you know, there's a chance you're going out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was one of those guys that was just... just amazing striker.
And is it like intimidating to see that? Like, do you like when you see? Does that pump you up, or are you like, oh shit? I hope I don't fucking meet him in the back alley of an IHOP at some. You know,
I've never worried about that guy, but I always made me very excited to watch his fights.
Yeah.
I know he's gonna bring it.
Right.
You know, I know if this guy can be knocked out, he's gonna be knocked out.
And it's great for the sport too, right? When you see people that are coming in,
well,
bringing
you see a
new
guy
flavor,
coming in, it's exciting.
Yeah,
you know, guy doing something like they weren't guys. He was lighting people up, man. It was, brutal.
You know, I'm so happy to talk with you guys today because, you know, I remember the first time I watched Chuck fighting, I'm in São Paulo, visit my dad, my real dad, in a Chuck fight in São Paulo, in a crazy event. It's a very, very violent, and I saw Chuck fight, and I said, whoa, what is this guy, you know?
IBC and, Brazil. I can't believe you. I didn't know you were there. I didn't know you were there that night, man. That's awesome. That was a second mixed martial arts fight ever.
Wow.
Yeah, and after that, I just watching UFC, but I never think in my mind I fight in UFC. I just watching Chuck Liddell, Carlos Newton, and the other guys, and say, wow, this is amazing. But never passed my mind fight in UFC. In the same event, I saw my hero fight, you know? That's, for me, is amazing. That's like, in my entire career inside UFC, I try to respect, because when I come inside UFC, I put in my mind, I need to respect and continue the legacy this guy is doing in here. You know, because I feel that the same energy when I Chuck come inside for fight, and every single person inside the arena just come and look it and start Chuck Liddell, you know, and that's doing something and give me power for continue the legacy. Chuck, do it, you know, and I mean, Chuck and the older guys, you know, make the story inside UFC. And that's I put in my mind and say, you know, that's my responsibility. Continue the legacy this guy's doing for many, many years.
Anderson, that's a great, I want to piggyback on that point. You saying that you were watching Chuck in Brazil. I don't know, how old were you at that point? Do you remember?
Oh, I'm 17, yes.
Oh, man. Okay, so just getting hair on your balls, just kind of feeling like you're getting that swagger starting to develop, right? Wait, so speak to that, because that's, I think everyone goes through that, even for myself, you know, being up in Seattle and not, you know, really thinking it's plausible to get to Hollywood and be in movies and stuff like that. And so how far-fetched is that dream for you, and when did it start to become like a reality? Like, at what stage were you like, oh shit, I think I'm actually that guy I grew up watching. I'm actually pretty close to him now.
Wow, that's never passing my mind. I'm going to São Paulo because I training in combat sport, Muay Thai, and I go to visit my dad because I born in São Paulo, and I sometimes when I have a vacation to my school, I go to visit my dad, and this day, the guy say, oh, I have a van, everybody go fight, and I have American guys go fight. They say, okay, I go see. And I talk to my dad, please, please, please. And my dad, okay, I go bring you. And I watch. But in this time, I never pass in my mind fight MMA. Never, never in my mind. I just say, whoa. And when I saw the fight starting, it's a very brutal. You know, it's not moving in the time, huh?
Yeah, no, bare knuckle, 1 30-minute round, one round, 30 minutes.
Holy shit.
They had a net on the bottom of the rope to the edge. Like I think I ended it with him stuck in the net. He was stuck in the net, and I was hitting him through the net. Like,
holy
shit. I was like looking like, are you guys going to stop this? I'm like,
yeah, is there a ref here? Does anybody have a whistle?
I mean, he was stuck underneath. It was, it was pretty crazy.
It's completely brutal.
Oh, I would say, and before me that night, there was an 8-man tournament. The guy that won it, he won 3 matches that night, 3 30-minute matches. Look, I mean, that's a stud. I don't remember his name, but man, 3 30-minute matches he had. And one night, bare knuckle in one night.
It's very hard, the time. It's very, very hard.
Oh, headbutts were legal. Groin strikes were legal. I mean, it was
everything. Yeah. The kick in the ground was legal. Everything.
Yeah, kick the head on the ground. You can stomp, whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the brutalness and the injuries that can arise from it. And obviously, you broke your go ahead.
How crazy is it that I've only seen that in mixed martial arts twice. And the first time was to you. Was oh man, I was there in person, man.
You were there.
I made me sick, man. I felt so bad for you. When I watched one of my favorite guys fight, I never thought you'd fight again. I'm like, there's no way he's gonna fight again. I was very impressed you came back from that and have done so well. I when I saw that, I'm like, fuck, he's done. I don't, oh man.
Did you know you broke your fibula and your tibia right then, or
for to have that happen to him, and then on the same guy that was on the other side of it now as the second guy was
yeah. What are the odds? The guy it happened to. Yeah.
When I kick Weidman and I feel something, I just drop my body in the ground because I feel I broke it, and you know, it's just terrible. It's terrible because I feel pain for 1 year and very tough for back. But I talked, my family helped me a lot and my real friends helped me a lot. You know, it's interesting because the moment this has happened to me and when I back to home and days passed, I saw my real friends because everybody's out. Only my family and my real friends, only three friends, you know? And I say, wow. And it's funny because my son, Khalil, is a baby. And look at me and say, Dad, we need you back to fight. We need you prove for yourself how much you're my superhero. And I say, yes, I go back. And I start the physiotherapy and working hard, but stop.
Wait, he said that he said that as a fucking baby.
Yes.
Wow.
It's not a baby, but it's continue my baby.
Oh yeah.
He's 9 years old.
Oh okay, yeah. Gotcha.
9 years old. That's
wow.
So young.
That's still very profound to say that to you and kind of try to pump you up, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that probably because you're probably looking for every and any piece of inspiration and motivation to get back on the horse because, I mean, and just like you said, finding out who your real friends are, I shattered my ankle playing basketball. And yeah, like I had a handful of people reach out and then a lot of people reach out being like, man, if you use anything you ever need, I'm there for you. And if you have any leftover Vicodin, I'm double there for you. You know what I'm saying? So you had those people. And then you had people that were like, if you need me to bring you soup, if you need me to like just hold your leg up and help you stretch. Was there like a quote or a phrase or a book that you read during that time? Like, was there an outside source of motivation that you found that wasn't from family or from yourself?
I'm the same. I talk to you guys. I'm very lucky because when I start in martial arts, I have a good and amazing coach, good and amazing masters to help me to construct my base in martial arts. And every single person to help me to in this day and when I start for this day is a very important in my life and helped me a lot.
Did you see it happen to Weidman or Weidman? Weidman.
Weidman.
Did you see it happen to him this past weekend?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's terrible. You know, I feel sad because I know how is terrible. You know, I feel the same pain when my kids show me the video. I say wow, and I say wow, that's not good. First of all, because it's a human being. The second one, because it's bad for sport.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not good. I'm sad. I'm very sad.
There's nothing you can do and I want both of you guys to speak to this. With injuries of that magnitude, there's nothing you can do to prevent that
it's just a freak accident. It's a freak, but that's why it's so crazy. For that to happen, unless it was a pre-existing injury or there's something, but it's still like such a freak thing for that to happen. I mean, think how hard Anderson kicks.
Yeah.
How many times he's kicked things that probably harder than his shin, you know, and he's still, it's just that one time, it just, decided to give.
Right.
I don't know what makes it do that.
Yeah, it's a tragic. But everybody can talk about that right now and say, oh, but then Weidman doing this or Anderson do that, maybe this don't happen. This is happening. This is part of the sport, you know, and sometimes because it's a very hard sport, you know. It's not easy go inside the cage and fight because it's not for normal people, you know?
Yeah. Why are you looking at me when you said that? You know,
he knows I'm not normal.
So yeah. Well, we all know that. Yeah, you're extra special.
You can do that, bro. You can do that.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you know what, dude? That's all I needed. I said, Anderson tells me today that I got what it takes. I'm fucking quitting comedy and I'm jumping in the ring next weekend. Go ahead.
Talking about that fight, while we're talking about the fights, you're fighting June 19th?
Where's that fight on? In Mexico with
Is it aired in the States? Are they going to air it in the States or online? Or
where no, in Mexico.
But I know, but where can we watch it? Are they going to have it on?
I think in pay-per-view.
They're going to have pay-per-view on somewhere? Figure it out.
Yes.
All right, we'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. I'm going to check it out. I also got Camacho fighting Senior on there, too.
All right.
So Julio Cesar Chavez Senior's fighting on the card, too, right? I think, yeah.
Yeah, so, maybe we can figure out a little shout-out you can give us mid-fight, if you want. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe there's something you can give, like a double eyebrow raise, like one for Adam, one for Chuck, maybe a double wink.
Okay, I go try, okay?
I believe you. Wait, Anderson, I was just down in Austin, and I did a show with Joe Rogan last night, right? He lives down there now. And I told him I was going to chat with you, and he was like, man, that guy's a beast. He said, when I saw him in Cage Rage and in England, he goes, I just immediately thought, like, this is a different kind of striker. What does that mean to you when you hear that?
I think I'm not different. I just have more passion and respect. Every single martial arts I train in, every single technique I absolve in my entire life, I respect in training and understand.
Right.
And I think that the more important is not because I'm different, because I love my sport. I love my job. I love everything I do because I love, because I believe in this is my air. This is something inside of my heart, you know?
When you first kicked again at full strength after the injury, not to rehash that one more time, but just I'm so curious because the rehab was what, over a year?
Yeah, it's strange. I'm scared, but you know, it's interesting because my first fight after I broke my leg,
yeah,
is with Nick Diaz. And I try to kick, and I feel scared, but I say, you know what? I go kick. I go check it out. And I kick. I say, well, yeah, I can't continue doing the same.
That has to be a weird feeling and, like, be worried about whether or not it's going to be holed up when you're kicking again. You know, it's hard. You know, I wonder that, too. Like, I watch it. I saw that fight. I knew you were a little tentative about kicking with that kick. Oh, he's trying it out. He's testing it out a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the scare come in your mind because I broke my leg, you know. And the whole time when I kick, I say, wow. I kick, but it's natural movement. It's instinctive.
Yeah.
But I sometimes when I look, I say, whoa, I'm scared. I'm completely scared. But I need to use my kicks.
Right.
Yeah. Have you reached out to Chris to give him any advice on how to rehab or is, you know, do you guys speak at all?
Wow. And I sent the message for Chris in my Instagram, but the simple thing, I think right now Chris needs to take time, you know, is it very important to stay with your family, real friends, and keep your focus and stay strong for back very soon. Because I know Chris go back. I know. But it's a very important
not
stay
rush
your mind strong.
Yeah, stay strong and not rush it, right? Let it
yeah.
heal.
Yeah.
Let it heal.
And make sure both go ahead.
Nothing fast, go slow, take your time, you know, because this is very important. The recovery right now is more important is the physiotherapy and take time. Don't do nothing fast. Go slow.
Go slow, yeah. And make sure both your controllers are fully charged for Call of Duty. Did you give him your screen name? Would you engage in some Call of Duty with him?
You know, I don't play Call of Duty. Be quiet. And online, because my kids beat me a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And beat me and take my money, too, because every single time when I play, the kids say, no, bad money. No, I don't play with you. It's no putting money on the table. I say, okay, I don't go play with you.
Yeah. Yeah, kids are, man, they're crafty little bastards, man. My brother is, you know, coming on like 22, and he's like, do you want to play? I'm like, yeah, for fun. And then, you know, he'll just... In like 5 seconds, I'm dead, and I'm like, this is not fun at all. And he's like, yeah, not for you. And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I used to like playing Madden, and my brother would be like, the new season would come out, he'd be through two seasons of football before I even played him. And then it's no fun. Like,
yeah.
When you play all the time, I could take the All-Star team, and I still can't even score.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm like, it used to be fun when we. Was
it's got to be even.
Yeah. So someone you're competitive with, it's fun. But
Anderson, what are you watching any shows right now? Any TV shows that have caught your eye or keeping you busy?
I watch
Real Housewives.
I watch the different ones, but the one I like it is the last one, the Michael B. Jordan, the Without Remorse. Without Remorse.
Oh, nice. It was good.
Yeah, the Amazon. Yeah, that's the movie I watch it, and I like it. The movie.
Yeah, yeah. You're more.
And Mortal Kombat too. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Oh yeah, was it good?
It's good.
Yeah, I mean, I just again played like the new Mortal Kombat, and it's like, you know, the original video game when I was a kid in the 90s came out, it was like a finishing move would be like a guy kicking a guy's heart through his chest. And then he'd fly up in slow-mo, and Johnny Cage would fall down. Sub-Zero would stand over him, maybe teabag him, and that was it, right? But now it's like Sub-Zero, like, punches him through a wall, calls his, like, wife, has phone sex with her, you know, gets the guy's dog. It's just, it's crazy. It's too out of control. I'm like, this is next level. I'm not ready for it. So this fight's coming up on June 19th, and you've got, so a couple months here. Are you, do you kind of go into shutdown mode? I'm always curious with athletes and especially with what you guys do, you know, is it go time? Have we reached that, you know, a couple months out? Do you got to be extra dialed in? Like the diet is like regimen, the training is locked in, or do you do that maybe a couple weeks out?
Yeah, I'll start now.
Yeah.
I think the older I got, the longer my camp would be. Like, you know, when I first was going, I fought more often too. I was fighting all the time. So.
Right.
You about a 6 week camp, and it got to be 8 weeks, and then as I got a little older, it got, you know, to be like, you know, 12 weeks.
Right.
So, you know, then you're watching your diet for 12 weeks, you're and dialing everything down.
Right. Who will go out with you to Mexico? Will you take some families as a solo trip?
No, I go with my team and my coach and my sparrings, and I think I go 2 weeks because of the high altitude. And I go to for adaptation and yeah.
Right. Going back to real quick, when you were talking about respect, right, with your competitors, when you were fighting Boris Griffin, and you know you got a pretty good hit on him, and then he was down, got back up. I don't know if you remember when you kind of dabbed him, right, and he got back up. And this is before.
That's a good fight for me and a great moment in my life, especially because when the night I watching a lot of fights for Roy Jones Jr. and I watching a lot of videos for Muhammad Ali. In the night I fight with Forrest, I just say, you know what? I go do my best, but my great and special inspiration is Muhammad Ali for the night.
Oh,
because
wow.
I watch a lot of videos from Muhammad Ali.
Wow. What was it about Muhammad that
that's funny to hear, though. I used to watch Roy Jones Jr. too for knockouts. Like, I always say that's where I got that knockout with Tito was. I watched Roy just go after people and just those rapid combinations. And, you know, he wouldn't throw all of them really hard, but he threw enough hard. You didn't know which one was going to be hard. So you're
right.
Trying to block them all. And then when you land it, you can put a guy out. So I watched Roy Jones too to study.
Guys, I'm sorry. I need you to go because I have my second training right now.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
yeah,
awesome,
I actually was going to cut you off because I have to go do some push-ups in the parking lot. So so this works out, man.
All right.
Wait, could you mind? Could you give us one more minute? We just do one more quick rapid fire thing. Can we do 1 minute?
All right, I can.
All right, 1 minute. Here we go. It's our 10 questions. So, obviously, James Lipton is passed. You never got a chance to be on Inside the Actor Studio, but it was inevitable. So, if you were, Chuck and I are going to ask you a rapid fire 10 question. Chuck, start it off.
What is your favorite word?
Keep doing.
Keep doing it. All right. What is your least favorite word?
Fear.
That's good.
What turns you on?
I love when Chuck asked that one. What turns you on?
Fight.
Fighting. Nice. What turns you off?
Injustice.
What is your favorite cuss word?
Fuck you.
What sound or noise do you love?
The ocean.
Awesome.
What sound or noise do you hate?
My dog.
You got a next one.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? What other job would you like to try?
Actor.
Nice.
Actor hero.
Ah, oh, perfect.
What profession would you not like to do?
The same my dad and my brothers, cop.
Yeah. All right, before the last one, what? Any ideas for a walkout song?
Probably DMX, Ain't No Sanction.
Hell yeah. All right, and finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you at the pearly gates?
You know why, Anderson? You make good job, but you lost a lot of jobs I give the mission for you to do. You need to back and do everything again.
Dude,
best answer
we've had so far, dude. Unbelievable. Man, all right, best of luck, dude. Can't wait to watch
awesome.
You in June. Thanks for making
Thank
time
so
for
much.
Us.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Coach. Thanks so much. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Later, bro.